Mornings on SEN.
Busy first hour on Mornings, dominated by your calls. Liam Santamaria told us about the Adelaide 36ers beating the Phoenix Suns over there in the practice game in the US yesterday. The first NBL team to beat an NBA side. Great story there. And we'll continue to take your calls right throughout the morning. Sam Edmund in the chair for me at 10:30. Andrew Voss coming up very, very shortly. In the meantime, let's go to Mick, who wants to speak about Jason Horne-Francis. What's your thoughts, Mick? Good morning.
Morning, Kano. Congratulations on your run, mate. But you should have ran the last 100 k's backwards. I reckon you would have raised double the money, mate.
Yeah, it would have been brutal. It was hard enough, Mick.
On Horne-Francis, I reckon... Yeah, it's going to be harsh, but I reckon he's been a spoiled brat from the start. He probably demanded that he wanted to go number one, and also I don't think he's been top five out of the draft picks. And also the Kangaroos and the AFL have to get a lot tougher. And you know, North Melbourne would have been banking on him to be their face for the future and to get their club back on track. Put a lot of resources at him, and they're going to say, "No, you signed for 2 years, all first year draft picks." Time for 2 years, and that's it. You stay there no matter what happens. And what happened with Clarko ain't Kangaroo's fault. So to use that as an excuse, I reckon it's a bit lame on his behalf.
I'm with you on that. I think the AFL needs to do something about this. So we've got Horne-Francis, a couple of years in, Isaac Rankin, 4 years in, Tanner Bruin, 2 years in, Ollie Henry, 2 years in, wanting out of the clubs that they were drafted to and demanding the club that they're going to go to. I mean, if you put your name to be drafted, you understand that you could go anywhere, and to commit only 1 year to that footy club, I don't think that's fair in a competition that is designed to be fair with the equalisation models that they've got, and it makes a mockery of that. So I think it's a big issue for the AFL and one that needs to be sorted. So I agree with you, and there should be a mandatory, I think it should be 4 years. If the club wants to sign you for 4 years, the players don't have a choice but to stay for those 4 years. It's not a good look for the AFL. Right, each and every Tuesday, Jared is joined by our next guest. He hosts the 1170 Breakfast Show in Sydney. His name is Andrew Voss. Vossie, thanks for your time.
G'day, Kane. Yeah, post-grand final wrap. Can't we get our knickers in a knot about things? Are you across what's happening up here?
Yes. Fair dinkum. So
have we lost our sense of humour?
Well, the Panthers have been blasted after they've been accused of lacking class and humility, Vossie, with the celebrations that have gone on. And you think that is harsh criticism, do you?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, the comments and the vision came. The blokes, mate, I don't know how many drinks they've had, but they're entitled to. You know, they've just won the comp again. They've just played their third grand final. They've lived bubble life the last couple of years and all the rest. It's their first post-grand final celebration of normality. They haven't had that for the last few years. Certainly for last year's premiership, they did it. They were up in Brisbane. They're in front of their flock, if you know what I mean. They're in front of their own fans, inside their own stadium. They've been on the drink all night. And one of the players gets up and said, "They're our sons, the club, you know, we're their daddy." And then the crowd started chanting, "We hate Para." Well, that's fine. I mean, I think we hang our hat on tribalism. And the way I put it on Breakfast Radio this morning, you ask your listeners, who in the workplace, if your mate over the petition in your open plan workplace goes for another team, and your team plays their team, and your team wins, you give it to him. You know? And the cleverer the sleeps, the better. Look, I found it funny. I just don't see how it could be raw. You know, you've lost the grand final, it's a bit raw, but I don't see you can be offended. And I think, you know, we have to take a big, deep breath. This is no crime of the century. In fact, this is no crime at all. I go by the policy, Kane. When you win, you rub it in. And I very much subscribe to the line, "Hold my trophy while I kiss your girlfriend." I mean, that's just the way it is.
We saw Geelong were criticised for mocking the elderly after dressing up for Mad Monday.
It was funny.
Similar vein, it was funny. But what's the fallout for the grand final, Vossie? I'm particularly interested in the ratings. Were you as concerned as what has been reported about those television ratings for the grand final?
Yeah, well, look, I must admit, I'm not smart enough to understand how they all work these days, because I know that you know, with all the different devices, we watch our sport in many different ways. I mean, I probably watch more sport on my phone now than I do actually sitting in front of a TV. So not quite sure how it's all tabulated. I am surprised by the number. Certainly from a Sydney perspective, it was a big grand final. They have Parramatta playing Penrith, head-to-head, Battle of the West, Western neighbours, you know, separated by just a run up the freeway, first time they'd ever played in the grand final, and it's certainly enough superstars there. So I probably don't have an answer for it, why there would be lesser number. Obviously, the game, to the realist, it was over at halftime at 18-0, even though, mathematically, of course, they're still in the game at 18 points down, but Penrith were just dominating Parramatta and then scored the first try after halftime. I'd never turn off a match early. I mean, I'm always going to watch to the finish, so I don't know whether people bail on the game, but what I do know is we've got a champion team at the moment. This Penrith side, three straight grand finals, they won every single grade here, Kane. They won the reserve grade, the second tier competition. They won the under 21s. They won the under 19 comp. I mean, seriously, their reign at the top. I'll put it in this term: they are the new Melbourne. They are the new Melbourne. They're ready. They are set for a potentially decade of being at the top. They might not win the comp every year, but they are going to be a powerhouse for at least the next four or five, having been a powerhouse for the last 3 years already.
All right, well, what else is happening, Vossi? You're off to the World Cup. You'd be excited about that. So the Aussies' chances over there in England, take us through that.
Yeah, so the World Cup will start early hours of Sunday week, our time, and the first match of the tournament, the hosts, are England. They're playing Samoa, and Australia will play Fiji in their first game. Australia are favourites, but the way the draw is, normally we get down to, you know, Australia plays New Zealand, did it at the last World Cup, but have the last couple that they've played over in England. Australia can't play New Zealand in the final. The way the draw is, they will meet in the semi-final, so that's going to be massive. And on the other side of the draw, it'll be either, say, England, Samoa, Tonga make the final. Australia, New Zealand is going to be one of the best. Look, the two squads are so strong, and the depth of talent at this World Cup, there are more NRL stars playing for other nations than we've ever had at these World Cups. So I think, you know, more exciting, better quality games, basically, in the Rugby League World Cup. The Rugby League World's very small, Kane. I don't hide from that. But we've got the best possible teams this time around because NRL stars are playing for nations of their heritage. Either if they haven't been born, their parents were born there, their grandparents. So that's how the World Cup will work. And I'll be over there.
How can we hear you? You'll be working for the BBC?
Yes, that's right. I am working for the BBC team. so I did a video for them last night. I'm in the city at the moment. I had to make a video for them last night in front of the Harbour Bridge. So. Can't wait. I don't know whether they know what they're in for. I might have to refine my ways a little bit on the BBC, but it's a 61-match tournament because it's the men's, the women's and the wheelchair competition all being played at the World Cup, and never before have we had every single match covered.
Wow, how good. Well, I'm excited for you and I'm a little bit envious of it. You enjoy your work. You'll dominate over there, one of the best callers of that game in Australia, in the world, no doubt about that. Vossi, thanks for your time as always this morning and enjoy the trip. We'll check in with you throughout.
Yeah, look forward to it. Have a great week, everyone.